just radio.
They had local elections where we were living, and we had just moved there, so I didn't know any of the candidates. But that didn't matter, because they would put billboards on the side of the road with their name and two one-word qualities, which is really all you need to make an informed decision.
Steve Wilson, leadership, integrity.
Say no more.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. It's all about business and marketing excellence.
We're going to break in story.
And ask yourselves, people.
That thing's hotline has finally put him in the hot seat.
Be afraid also. Tremendously afraid.
I can do rhythm, Blake.
Good evening, citizens of Earth.
He's due for a good performance.
One mouse click at a time.
Hey, it's time to draw something. Everybody want to draw something?
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Stand by for action.
We expect to resume normal broadcasting shortly.
Good morning, 6:02 on the West Coast for your Tuesday, 19th day of May, 2015, Strategist Radio Live. Hey, according to Fred DeVito, if it doesn't challenge you, it's not going to change you. And Jim Ryan once said, motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. Today on the program for our Tuesday, we'll talk about business strategy, how to get your money to make you more money. We'll also check in with Matthias Gallica. He's the founder and CEO of ShareSquare. We'll share his insights as to how we can purposely proceed to enrich our mobile marketing strategy. And Ari Mir, CEO at Lunch Money, will talk about capital requirements to start your business. All ahead, Strategist Radio. Welcome to your Tuesday morning. How are you today? How's business going for you? I'd like to hear about that. You can email it anytime to me at support@tjmarino.com. I go through all hundreds of emails that come in every single day, support@tjmarino.com. And I perhaps would like to maybe even talk to you about being a guest on the program. That's right. We're going to change our format a little bit in the coming months. If you would like to come on the program and share some of your insights, share some of your famous victories, or even some of your goofs, that's okay. Come on, let's talk about it on the program. Send me an email. Let me know. Send it to support@tjmarino.com. If you're not a member of the Inner Circle yet, as we beam this program out Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time, out over 120 countries, thanks for our friends over at Blog Talk Radio and Live 365 for allowing us to multicast the program to the globe. Come sign up. 83,000 plus, give or take 10 or 2, in our inner circle. Emails go out on Sunday. It's a great way for us to get to know one another. You can get all the details on the hub at tjmarino.com. Help yourself. All right, so before we talk about how to get your money, even if you got a wee bit of money, to make you more wee bits of money, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Also, how to enrich your mobile marketing strategy and how to, decide how much capital you're going to need to get your business going. I wanted to share a piece sent to us today from our friends over at Entrepreneur. This actually came our way from Shujan Patel. He's a contributor, entrepreneur, and marketer, VIP of marketing at When I Work. And he shares with us today three essential tips for marketing to millennials. Millennials. Who are the millennials? The millennials are the Y-ers, the Y-gen, right? Gen Y. Young adults who are currently between 18 and 34. They wield about $1.3 trillion in annual buying power. Do you think they matter? That's certainly enough to make any marketer sit up and take notice. But despite common misconceptions of the group as a single narcissistic entity, U.S. millennials are diverse. Nearly 43% are non-white, and roughly 25% speak a language other than English at home. With such a diverse group and such preconceived notions about its personality and interests, it can be hard to know how to approach marketing to this Generation Y. However, there are certain characteristics that are shared between nearly all millennials, and those that aren't can be targeted through niche marketing. Here's some key points. Three provided by our friends and Entrepreneur. Mr. Patel says, number one, rock your mobile marketing. Marketing through mobile devices is important in general, but given that 85% of millennials in the U.S. own smartphones, it's essential when you're targeting this generation. So to excel at mobile marketing, first consider the basics. Are your landing pages optimized for mobile? Are they too graphics intensive, making load times longer with slower connections? Is your call to action clear, even on a smaller screen? Now, after you've figured all that out, it's time to get creative. Brian Wong, himself a millennial, figured out how to integrate advertising natively into mobile gaming by allowing companies to offer rewards after in-game accomplishments. His company is Kip, K-I-I-P, also integrates advertising with other types of mobile apps, allowing companies such as Gatorade to offer rewards to users, in this instance, after specific fitness accomplishments. So finding ways to integrate your advertising natively into popular mobile applications and programs, especially if it's styled as a reward, is a fabulous way to reach millennials. Sujan also says you got to target the millennials. Target social groups instead of life stages. Target social groups instead of life stages. Millennials are the most non-traditional generation thus far, and they don't value traditional life stage advertising the way previous generations did. They view life differently. The word family has many different meanings, not all of which are connected to marriage. Community has a variety of meanings as well, and their physical neighborhood is not likely the first thing they think of. Now, in addition, milestones such as purchasing a home are less attainable for many millennials given the economic conditions they currently face. And that's assuming they even want to. Well, a growing trend among young people is to work toward a location-independent, traveling lifestyle. Now, adult life isn't linear for millennials either, and advertisers have to adjust accordingly. Instead of focusing on life stages, Sajjan says, target millennials based on social groups. For example, you can focus your attention on population segments that are drawn to social causes, those who are in alternative lifestyles, or those who avidly follow specific social media personalities. Millennials are much more likely to have a strong attachment to these social identities than they are to strongly identify with a specific stage of life. And finally, you've got to be relevant and engaging. Relevant and engaging. While this strategy obviously applies to all generations, it's required for millennials. a good deal of millennials have never known a world without the internet and social media. As a result, they're the last group you can expect to simply accept your message on face value and take the action you request. Instead, millennials are focused on solving real-life problems through online research, both in search and social media. Brands that can bring relevant, simple solutions to real-world problems are the ones that are going to win attention from this generation. In addition, you need to be engaging. Roughly 95% of millennials say that friends are the most credible source of product information. Now, this means if you can engage a customer base within this generation and create brand evangelists, you'll see far better results than you will through any other form of traditional online marketing. And the best way to get your message heard among millennials is to have millennials themselves spreading the word. Now, all of this means that you need to be relevant. You need to be engaging, and you've got to be building community as you share your products and services. Otherwise, millennials will ignore you as just part of the inevitable noise of a connected world. And finally, marketing to millennials doesn't have to be difficult. By rocking your mobile marketing, targeting social groups instead of life changes, and being relevant and engaging, you'll certainly make a splash with this demographic. Beyond these three tips, you'll want to segment the population and drill down to the exact ideal buyer you're targeting. Millennials are incredibly diverse, so the more segmentation you can achieve, the more return you'll see for your marketing dollar. All right. And I want to thank our friends over at Entrepreneur for sharing that with us this morning. Sujan Patel, contributor, entrepreneur, and marketer, VP of marketing at When I Work. If you'd like to share one of your stories here on the program, let me know. Send me an email to support@tjmoreno.com. I'd love to hear from you. All right. We'll talk about how to get your money to make you more. But first, let's check in with Matthias Gallica. He is the founder and CEO at ShareSquare. He shares his insights as to how we can purposefully proceed to enrich our mobile marketing strategy.
So mobile is a big opportunity that's come on us really fast. It's one of the biggest new ways that people are using the internet, whether from native apps or the web. In the last couple of years, lots of businesses haven't been ready for it. They don't have a mobile site, they don't have an app, and they're not taking advantage of this huge opportunity. So as a company that's been playing in this space for the last couple of years, there's four really good tips I can pass along for a business, a band, a brand thinking about using mobile. The first is a no-brainer. It's common sense. Define your objectives. Define what you want to achieve with any mobile marketing campaign. Some of the best things that we've seen is delivering unique content, driving engagement, getting people to look at videos, looking at what you're providing them with, more information. But there's also great things you can do with really incentivizing the person to take advantage of whatever the mobile content is, whether that's a contest, a prize. The second is this big debate between native and web apps. So some people can say, I need an app, I need an iPhone app, an Android app. That really should depend on your objectives. Point number one, ask yourself what you want to achieve, and you will always come to the conclusion of whether a mobile web app or a native app serves you better. Third is take advantage of the fact that QR codes, for instance, and other technologies to drive the mobile experience from the real world are things that you can do to enhance and bring those two worlds of marketing mix together. So if you have posters or flyers or elements in the real world, you can now drive it to a mobile experience. And then, which gets me to my fourth point, always do things that connect you with that new consumer, that new fan, to capture a lead, whether it's get their email address, get a Facebook like, get them to follow you on Twitter, because you don't want to waste that attention. Get it, get them to convert, either on a purchase or a connection, a lead gen, and have that as your goal at the end of the day.
Good morning, 6:15. If you're just joining us, welcome to Strategist Radio Live. We do this Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time. Listen to the program online by simply visiting strategistradio.com. Here's what is on tap for the remainder of this week. Tomorrow for Wednesday, we'll talk about business strategy, how to grow and sustain a healthy business. On Thursday, business startup strategy, how to create the right business name. And on Friday, we'll close out the week with book marketing strategy and how to avoid costly PR mistakes. All ahead this week on Strategist Radio Live. And if you miss any portion of our live airings Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time, we turn the program into a podcast shortly after the live airing, and you can get all the details and help yourself to all the radio archives by going to the hub at tjmoreno.com, and I'd appreciate it too if you tell some friends, tell some of your colleagues, all right? Okay, so we're going to talk about how to get your money to make you more, but first, let's talk about capital requirements to start your business. Ari Mir checks in. He's the CEO at Lunch Money and describes whether or not you truly need capital to start your business.
Do you need capital to start a business? In business school, one of the first things they teach you is that you do need capital to start a business. When I graduated business school and I started my first business, which was a physical print magazine, I didn't have an option. I didn't have access to capital, and I started that business with no capital. So my answer to the question is no, you don't always need capital. But I will tell you this, even though I was able to run a successful magazine for 3 or 4 years and we printed several editions, it was extremely painful along the way. And often we made sacrifices that we really shouldn't have had to make due to a lack of capital. What I should have done was raise capital along the way. One thing I want to make note of is not every business requires capital. But if your business does require capital, I recommend raising capital along the way. Whether it's in the beginning or 6 months into the business, your chances of succeeding are going to be much higher.
Strategist Radio. I love this quote. Of course, I love Helen Keller. I did a book report on her in grammar school. I remember that. And then I did another one in high school and even did a little bit of historical studying on Helen back in my undergraduate program. Talking about true beauty, Helen Keller once said, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." I love that. Amazing little girl, you know, back in the late 1800s, who winds up as a baby getting like a scarlet fever. I couldn't see. There was no eyesight anymore, no hearing. And obviously, when you didn't have those two things and you didn't learn how to speak yet, you weren't able to talk. And then, of course, Annie Sullivan, who was her teacher. What an amazing road trip that was for Helen Keller. All the respect in the world. Wow. So listen, who's your mentor these days? Who's your influencer? Who do you follow? Whose work do you read? Whose businesses do you track? Maybe it's not even a business. Maybe it's just a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody you attend church with. Maybe it's just somebody that just always seems to have a great attitude no matter what's going on. It's important to have these people in your lives. And I can't tell you enough that you also have to go out and be that good steward too. And you got to look for those opportunities, even when you're scared and business is flip-flopping all over the place, because that's what happens is in the life of an entrepreneur it's still important to make sure that we make time every day to go out and show somebody some love, some compassion, some empathy. Mix it up in your community. Call an old friend. Call somebody in the family, Evan. Call your mom if you can. All right. Reach out. Look for those opportunities to share love. All right. Starts right there in the heart. So let's talk about business strategy and how to get your money to make you more. As entrepreneurs, we've likely heard it said, it takes money to make money. But what if you only have access to little money? Can you still make more money? How might you stretch your limited capital resources relative to your business strategy to accomplish more in the name of increased revenue? Because that's why we're in business. Our fiduciary responsibility is to increase or sustain and increase profits. So are you prepped and ready to find out how to do that? Well, let's give you some high-level ideas today as we round out this edition of Strategist Radio Live for our Tuesday. One of the things that you can do is to keep, particularly to keep the cost down, is to go paperless. You know, instead of printing invoices and checks and dropping them in the mail, you may want to consider the various digital services that are available for a myriad of business needs. For example, Dropbox, Google Docs. These are file sharing services. You can do electronic invoices, payments, and inventory spreadsheets using apps like FreshBooks, which is cloud-based, Working Point, Aptivo, and electric signature services. You know, you've heard of DocuSign, right? To easily share information internally and externally. And one of the things sometimes we find that we overlook is how much paper we waste. So let's think about corporate social responsibility for a minute and focus on remaining green and helping our environment. The paper we waste by printing things that could easily be accessed and shared online. And if you do go paperless, go ahead and put it up on the web property. Let that be part of your vision and mission. Let the world see that. Tell them in your About Us pages. We help the environment by XYZ. Okay? How about getting cash for cartridges? How many times do we just, oh, the printer's out of ink and we just throw it away? Well, if you insist on printing, at least make some money off the ink you're using. Some sites or stores offer around $20 for empty ink cartridges. So look into selling or recycling them through even Staples, ToneBuyer.com, and other services before buying new ones. I mean, $20 a pop, that can add up fast. Using free forms and software. Now, you can find tons of forms and software products digitally online that cost nothing to buy. This not only saves you money up front, but also ensures you end up purchasing the products you like best in the long run, since you were able to test them out first, some of which are DocStock, LegalZoom, Rocket Lawyer. Okay, I'm not talking about using free forms and software where you go out and plagiarize. Take somebody else's work and claim it as your own, but check out some of these sources. Renegotiate bundled services. This is a big one. Bundled offers and their value change over time. It's worth a 25-minute phone call to your service provider to get the latest deal. They'll often make you a very good offer to keep you from switching. And that's happened to me a couple times where with cable at home, you know, where I would call them and say, hey, listen, I'm getting in the mailbox over and over and over again. Your competitors are sending me these sweet deals. And they're almost making it so delicious that I want to consider making that move. Although I love you and I really don't want to, but hey, and they'll match a price. They match the price for me. You can do that at work if you're working out of your home office or you're working out of your own office. Make those calls to those service providers. I've even had it done with Verizon. I'm not telling you you're going to get the same results, but if you don't ask, the answer is always no. Internet service providers. How about that? How about hosting? These are ways of saving money. And remember, especially when you're starting out and trying to squeeze as much out of your capital as you can, these things start to add up. How about using connected apps? Many new services work effectively when used together by leveraging cloud-based technologies to sync relevant information. There's a service out there called Nutshell, CRM, Customer Relations Management app, that can help consolidate communications by tracking meetings, phone calls, emails, and more, and can even sync with your smartphone. Leveraging connected apps where possible can help you use fewer services and save the time required to re-enter the data. And remember, your time is money, too. It's not always about, you know, the dead presidents. Not always about the cash. Your time is a commodity. Okay? That's capital, too. Maybe you're going to have a garage sale for your business. Consider selling older furniture. Maybe it's office equipment. What about building your business credit? One of the biggest mistakes that new businesses make is only using personal credit for business expenses. But by building strong credit in your business name, not tied to your personal credit, you'll be able to access more financing at even better rates, which can save you serious cash over time. There's a free service called Creditera. Makes it easy to understand, build, and protect your business credit. And there's a variety of others. Don't just pay on time your bills. Pay early. Many suppliers offer discounts when you pay early. Pay up front. Sometimes as much as 10 or 15% discounts. Or sometimes you might even have to pay a little bit later, which is the next point. If you can put your cash to better use to save money, maybe buying new equipment at a significant discount, take the maximum allotted time to pay your suppliers. With good credit, that could be 30, 60, or 90 days, which gives you time to recoup the expense or the investment. That's what we call that return on investment. Maybe you look into refinancing for better rates. You may be paying high interest rates because you had poor credit when you initially borrowed the money. But as you've built stronger business credit, you'll look more reliable to lenders and creditors. So ask for better refinance rates. And be sure to separate personal and business expenses. This makes it easier to identify and use valuable tax deductions. Starting by opening a business bank account and business credit cards, interest from a business card may be deductible, but it isn't for a personal credit card, even if you're using it to fund your business. These are questions that you want to turn to a licensed professional, checking with counsel, and particularly a CPA or somebody that is licensed to understand accounting. Cutting costs can be easier than you think, and being smart where you want to be frugal is critical in helping you keep your business alive and thriving. That's a wrap for today. Thank you very much for joining me for this Tuesday edition. Tomorrow, for Wednesday, we'll talk about business strategy, how to grow and sustain a healthy business. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your day. Please go out and love somebody. And thanks for listening and being my friend. I love you very much. Kelly, close it out.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio. This has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com.
Just radio.